You're listening to Women's Magazine on KPFA 94.1 FM and online at kpfa.org. I'm Kate Raphael. It's no secret to most of you that I don't really like Hillary Clinton's politics. I do, however, admire her a lot. I developed that admiration during Bill's first White House term, which coincided with the huge anti-feminist push of the early 90s. The Clintons became the symbol of everything the right wing hated about the new relations between men and women. And as such, Hillary became a symbol for feminism, for a woman's right to participate fully in her husband's work life, even if that work was running the most powerful empire on the planet. I remember telling someone that I've never felt so personally attacked by things being said about a public figure as I did during that time, listening to the things that people were saying about her. And for all that she did not stand up for poor and working class women in those days, she did stand up for every woman's right to be heard. And for that, if nothing else, I will always admire her. Now she's running for president for the second time. For the second time, she seems to be the anointed Democratic standard bearer. And for the second time, the right wing is having a field day attacking her with lightly coded sexist tropes. Like me, most women, at least those in my age group, have pretty strong feelings about Hillary. In fact, there are few political figures in our culture who evoke such strong feelings, especially among women. Joanne Cronrath Bamberger, editor-in-chief and publisher of The Broadside and author of the book Mothers of Intention, How Women and Social Media Are Revolutionizing Politics in America, has collected the thoughts of 27 women into an anthology entitled Love Her, Love Her Not, The Hillary Paradox, which came out a few weeks ago to quite a bit of fanfare. So, Joanne, welcome to Women's Magazine.
Thanks for having me.
You have a wide range of contributors in this book, from pundits to fashion writers, left, right, and center. Given that, as I said, everyone has strong feelings about Hillary, how did you decide who to reach out to for this anthology, or did you just cast a wide net and see who answered?
I would say it was a little bit of both. I did want to cast a wide net because I really wanted to gather a very diverse group of voices, which I think I ultimately was able to do, diverse in political thinking, diverse in backgrounds, diverse in every way. But there certainly were writers that I had in mind that I thought would bring something new to the table, because there are certainly plenty of people who are out there in the world of pundits who have a lot of the same opinions and, you know, write a lot of the same things, and that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to try to gather voices that would have interesting, pertinent, and new things to say about how they felt about Hillary Clinton.
You've said in some posts that I saw in the run-up to the publication of this book that you learned a lot from editing it and from seeing the pieces. Let's start with Hillary herself. Were there things you learned from some of the essays about the woman herself that you didn't know?
I think the biggest thing that I learned about Hillary as a person is really more how she's viewed through voters' eyes, especially women voters. And we have so much that's written that sort of portrays her as a 2D figure, someone who's a caricature of herself. And I wanted to really help present her as a 3D figure, whether you really love her, hate her, you're in between, regardless of what your view is on her, to really show her as a fully fleshed out human being, just like the rest of us. And the thing that I think I learned really more about women voters and how they view her is that she is this 3D person. She's complicated. So many of the pundits want to portray her as, well, we shouldn't allow her to change her mind on positions, and some people see her as the housewife, some people see her as the first lady, some people see her as something else. And why should we not see her as a fully formed 3D person like the rest of us are, who, you know, change careers, change our minds on politics and issues? And I found that through these writings by these women that there are people who are willing to accept that about her, even though much of what we see and hear in the media today really want us to think about her more in a 2D version.
At the same time, you know, you're saying people criticize her too much for things like changing her positions and we all change our minds about things. You know, but shouldn't politicians, including her, be held accountable for the public positions that they took, especially when those positions really have had a big impact on social policy?
Absolutely. I think every politician should be held accountable, but I think they should be held accountable to the same degree. For example, one of the essays talks about, and a couple of them talk about, her vote on the Iraq War, which many people have taken issue with, and fairly, I think. But there are men politicians, such as John Kerry, who have changed their minds and have voted one way and then in subsequent years said they might have voted differently, who don't receive the same scrutiny that she seems to receive.
What were some of the things in people's contributions that surprised you?
One of the things that I was most surprised about was that there were so many women who still have conflicted feelings about her because she stayed with her husband after the Monica Lewinsky scandal, and look at her and say, well, she only stayed because of her own personal ambitions, and she was looking down the road, and she knew she wanted to be president, and I'm not sure I can trust someone like that. And that really surprised me, A, given how long it's been since that happened, and B, given that we, again, don't hold male politicians to the same standard that we seem to be, that many people seem to hold her to. There's certainly plenty of men who have weathered, you know, sexual scandals and have gone on to, you know, get elected to or appointed to other political office. And the other thing that was surprising to me is that, and this is sort of backed up by some research that's been done by various institutions, for women voters to find women candidates qualified, they have to find them likable, whereas women voters don't seem to have that same requirement for male candidates.
But then, of course, George W. Bush's big claim to qualification or something was alleged to be, I mean, I myself never saw it, but, you know, everybody seemed to find him so likable and everybody wanted to have a beer with him, or the people that voted for him did. But he didn't, that wasn't a problem for him. Is that because as a man, he didn't have to also prove that he was tough enough to be commander in chief?
I think that's right. And I think there, and there were two essays in the book that really sort of address that, talking about the phenomenon of, you know, we've never seen a woman in that position who has her finger on the nuclear button, who is the person who will send troops into harm's way. And how does that comport with how we view women generally? You know, yes, people did say things about, oh, he's a great guy and he's someone you'd want to have a beer with. That's not ultimately what got him elected. By an overwhelming margin, like 90% of women polled say that they need to feel that they like a woman to be able to vote for her. And the number is much, much lower when they're talking about a male candidate. And I was really shocked at that.
Though I did notice that just last week, I think there was an article in the New York Times about how Bernie Sanders doesn't kiss enough babies. And people think he doesn't hug them when they pour out a sob story. So is it entirely sexism with Hillary, or is it more just that we're in the era of reality TV and everything's supposed to be some version of Oprah or a soap opera or something?
Ooh, that's a big good question. I'm not really sure what the big answer to that is, although I have to say in the essay that I wrote, about whether we need Hillary to be perfect. One of the things that I ask and explore is, are we living in a time where we're sort of super Oprah-fied, where we say everyone has to be in touch with every feeling, you know, at the risk of, you know, having the wrath of Oprah. It's, you know, there's the Arianna Huffington sort of transition from being the tough, powerful woman to her whole new third metric thing, where women's success is viewed in terms of total reinvention and should you lean out, not lean in? Should you take more naps? And I think, sadly, laying the groundwork for a conversation about women of a certain age should be done with their ambition and should just step back. And that's not a good thing for Hillary Clinton or any other candidate or woman leader of her age or of her era.
So speaking of a certain age, did you notice a generational divide or several in terms of the contributors and their attitudes towards Hillary? I mean, thinking back to what you were saying a few minutes ago about that women still carry a lot of anger towards her based on the fact that she stood by Bill in the Monica Lewinsky affair, millennials would not really have even been conscious at that time. So they shouldn't have those same strong feelings, or do they?
They don't. The women of the baby boom generation really held that against her more. And the women of Gen Y and Gen X acknowledged it, but not only didn't hold it against her, but in some ways found it empowering that she had not given up her personal dreams and her personal ambitions because of something that her husband had done. So I thought that was really very interesting and somewhat refreshing.
So do you have a sense of whether more people love her not, or is it more or less evenly split as far as you can tell?
More people are on the fence, at least in these contributors, in these 28 essays. There are certainly people who totally love her, and there are certainly people who love her not. But when I started this project, I thought that we would be able to split this book into three very distinct sections: the group that loved her, the group that loved her not, and the group that was on the fence. And that really wasn't the case. The vast majority of the essays are much more nuanced. They acknowledge that there are positive things about her as a candidate and a woman, as a woman leader and a potential first woman president. Yet there are things that they have reservations about, and that there are people that under other circumstances they might be more interested in, like Elizabeth Warren or Carly Fiorina or a male candidate. And I really thought that was fascinating, and I wonder if the majority of women voters in the country fall into that category.
So what is the Hillary paradox of the subtitle?
Well, I think that is the paradox, is how do we feel about her that I think is very different than how most women voters feel about other women candidates, politicians of today, that they're very much on the fence. And I think that is driven by the generation that Hillary Clinton comes from. She's a person like no other that we've seen in the political arena, someone who started as a political wife, even though she was accomplished in her own career, in her legal career. But we first knew her, the public first knew her, as a first lady, the first lady of Arkansas, the first lady of the United States. And to have someone go from that role that is so female traditional in our country to someone who has her own political ambitions is something that we've never really dealt with. Other women politicians that we see on the scene, many of the senators, Kirsten Gillibrand, Elizabeth Warren, yes, they've had other careers, but we've only known them in the public eye as someone running for office. So I think the paradox is really in us and how we look at Hillary, given who she was, the generations that she straddled, and whether we are willing to allow a woman like her, whether it's her or someone who comes from that same generation, to move past the traditional role and move into what we would call a non-traditional role.
So is that, does that also speak to the reason that people have so many strong feelings about her? I mean, so you point out, I think, in your introduction and several of the other essays point out that Hillary Clinton's a virtual cottage industry. You know, someone says there could be departments of Hillary studies coming up pretty soon because
right.
there's so many scholarly works as well as popular works that have been written about her. You know, what is it? Is it simply that fact that she kind of encompasses in some ways our sense of ourselves, at least for, you know, people who are close to her generation or who are of a generation that have like been through the arc of her career? Or do you think it's something about her as a person that causes those intense feelings?
I think it's a mixture of both. I think that it initially comes from how the culture that we live in today as women, this is an overgeneralization, but, you know, given what's in pop culture that we expect to be perfect, and we criticize ourselves when we're not, if we aren't able to do everything perfectly all the time, taking care of our families, taking care of our jobs, taking care of ourselves. And I think we project that onto her in a way that we have not with other women in her position. And I think part of that is because we've seen her in the role of the traditional wife, helpmate, and then moving into a different role. You know, who knows, would she be in the position she is today, and would we feel the same way about her if she had come before Bill, if it had been her career, if she had come before him and she had, you know, run for office before, you know, he had done anything? I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to imagine her having been first because, you know, you just can't imagine that a woman couldn't have been in that position 30 years ago. But
she went to Yale Law School, and then she was on the Watergate committee investigating Richard Nixon. And what if she had not married Bill Clinton? What if she had not moved to Arkansas and become the first lady? She was already very accomplished. What if her path had taken a different route? Would we view her differently today in 2015? I don't know. But I think that's part of the paradox.
Have you heard from Hillary's people at all, or even from her, since the book came out?
Well, I have not heard from her. I am not Hillary's BFF in any way. There has been some recent outreach from some of her people that they have heard through social media channels that this book is out there, and they were curious about it, and we were happy to provide them copies. I have not heard anything back from those people, so I don't know if they're happy with it or not happy with it. And, you know, ultimately, I'm not sure that that really matters.
No, but I would think it would be useful to them. I mean, just
right.
because
no.
it is such a broad swath of what women think, and women are going to be pretty important if
right.
she's going to get
well,
elected.
That's what I hope.
Do you think she can win this election?
I think she can win. You know, it's a whole year out. That is a very hard thing to, you know, put a pin in at this stage of the game. I think it's more likely than not. I don't know if that's, I'm a Hillary fan personally. I don't know if that's my wishful thinking. But I would love to think that we are finally at a place where the country can consider a woman as president, because I really don't think we were there in 2008. Obviously, she was just as qualified then as she is now, although now she's got the experience she had as Secretary of State. But my gut says we are at a different place now than we were 8 years ago, and that perhaps we really are ready to consider the possibility of a woman leading this country.
If you're a Hillary fan, was it difficult to not skew it in her favor in putting this book together?
It was not. It was really my first background is that of being a journalist and wanting to explore a question. And the question that I really wanted to explore by putting this book together was, why do people have such conflicted feelings about her? And to really get to the bottom of that. So what I didn't want to have super haters or super lovers. That's why I didn't want to do that. But I was surprised that I did not get more essays that came out totally against her. But I really, really wanted to explore the more nuanced question of why do we feel this way about this woman who, by all objective standards, is one of the most politically accomplished women of our time. And I'm not saying that I got to the bottom of it or got to the total answer of it, but I hope that the essays begin to explore this and have a conversation about it. And as I said before, not just as it addresses Hillary Clinton, but as it addresses other candidates who will come down the road after her.
Joanne Bamberger has been my guest. Her new book, Love Her, Love Her Not, The Hillary Paradox. It's a collection of 28 essays about Hillary Clinton, women's attitudes towards Hillary Clinton. Joanne, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Kate. It was great.